Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 256, part 2, the conclusion to Salt. Today is Sunday, August 26, 2012.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
I ministered on, Friday night? Sometime. About people walking with the gowns. I'm going to do it again because I want people to get the picture. They have on these gowns and there's no back to them, you know what I mean? And they got these slippers on and they're just like they're insane walking around. In a ward. And they go from one legal ward to the next legal ward. And they are nuts. Isn't it crazy to stand in the door in your crazy gown and not let anybody else in until they're like you? Insane? Isn't that insane? Wouldn't it be better to point them, isn't it the only way, to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ? I say it as a form of the Antichrist. Because if you're not for him, you're against him. And he that thinks of the merits of his own good works, he'll always hate the merit of the finished work of Christ. He must hate it. Or he wouldn't be going so much, if you're not for me, you're against me. If you don't love me, you hate me. One or the other. There's no gray line in between. You can't go on your own merits. I deem thee so-and-so meritoriously so. No, you can't go by that. You are a debtor and you can take no credit. You owe.
Well, I've always been a good person. Golly, I mean, hey, look at my yard. I take care of my yard. I've been a good citizen. I go to PTA. Hey, I go to church. I've been charitable all of my life. The guy the other day says, well, I was driving along in the truck with him. He moved these two vans back here. And he says, you know what? Did you see the house on TV that Jim Baker had? Well, that must have cost $500,000. I said, man, where do you suppose he's going to entertain these people? In a 40 by 40 size square house? No, he has to have a house like that to go with that ministry so that these people that invest in that ministry have some place to go and talk things over. Now, doesn't that make sense? Or do you want him to live in a cracker box? I'm not talking about prosperity teachings now. I'm just talking about common sense. Does that make sense to you? No, I think he should live in a tent. And then people would love him more. Well, for sure the prosperity hounds wouldn't love him. No, they wouldn't. But what I'm saying is it just makes good sense that you have to have a place for people to come. I mean, if someone is giving millions and millions of dollars to the work of God, and you have them over for dinner, you got to have some place to put them. No, I says, first of all, man, I says, you have to look at all the good works that are happening out of all of these organizations. Oral Roberts has been going steady, man. This man's track record is fantastic. You have to look at the track record of these people. And by the way, it's not easy going on in a ministry under pressures. Oh, I never thought of it that way. Oh, yeah. Well, I was just kind of putting that house against my house, you know what I mean? And I was kind of thinking, well, you were jealous. Yeah, I guess I was. And I says, how much are you making today for working today? Well, $50 an hour. And I says, now I'm jealous. Yet, two men came down here and they moved this with the great big high-powered things, you know, and they were so beautiful. I got done, they charged $100, and they were here for like 4 or 5 hours. See, preach kindness and love and common sense, and you get gain from it. Godliness with contentment hath great gain. We need to speak out against things. We need to speak out for things. We need to say, hey, are you hearing this? But this person is offering to God that which has no salt in it, and it can't be received. When we legalistically preach to somebody, there's no salt in it. Because why? There's no life in it. There's no life-giving additives to it. It'll spoil without the preservative of salt. It'll spoil. That's like a person gets saved and then the next day is unsaved. Well, brother, is so-and-so still saved? I heard one guy say, no, I don't know if they are or not. Not one person. I'm talking about a lot of preachers. You'll get in these big groups, they'll say, whatever happened to so-and-so? Is he still saved? And I looked at him and I thought, what does that mean? What kind of a spirit is that coming from? Well, you know what I mean. I said, what do you mean by that? Well, you know what I mean. Is he still saved? And I said, well, now you got me wondering about myself. And I just said that, debated. Well, let me ask you a question then. And not, it's caused a question in my mind. Are you still saved? And you looked around the room. No, I said, well, gee, I didn't mean to cause heart failure here or anything like that. How about it, guys? Are you still saved? I mean, you give them the ball. The are you still saved ball. Here, take it. Oh, it's hot. It's a hot potato nobody wants to hold. If you were to take every thought and every action of every person 24 hours a day and it was to come out there and it would transfer from their brain and from their heart and it would go on the panoramic camera, it would take it, you know, sort of like a home video and go up there on the screen, would you still be saved? That's what I put to them. Would you? It's getting quiet in here, isn't it? Of course you would be.
It doesn't depend on you. If it depended on the flesh, half the people you know would go to hell. You even tell them that sometimes. If you don't say it out, you say it in your mind. Oh, go to, you know, right? Well, let's be honest about it. Oh, I never. Well, I'm just telling the truth here, aren't I? You preachers listening, is that not the truth? Well, the truth will set you free. Probably free of your congregation. And that's what you're afraid of. I mean, listen, legalist. Listen to what I'm preaching because it comes as a warning. See, because if you forget that you're under the covenant of grace, pure grace, and which God gives to the unworthy, you are on very legal ground. You are not worthy. You are unworthy, but a worthy God saw fit to make you worthy by his righteousness and by his blood, and that's bottom line. And you know, you can keep preaching this day in and day out, and the legalist will still stand on terra firma. Once that you are on legal ground, by the way, God cannot accept your sacrifice. No. Once you stand on your own merit instead of the rock, you are tasteless and you are saltless. And God cannot receive you. He receives you in Jesus Christ and no other way. You know how we need to understand that? God, I've been preaching it for years because I came out of hell. Why is it so hard to understand? Because you have not seen that home movie of yourself yet. Wouldn't that be neat? I mean, you wouldn't have to show it if you would admit you were a sinner. Then things that are past are forgotten. God will remember them no more. So don't worry about that. When you get to heaven, there's going to be no rerun movies. God says, I will remember, plural, your sins. Plural, plural. And in the Greek, it even goes in more tenses, more descriptive. And we won't get into that because then you just get into all kinds of, just forget it. Okay, you get into all of these things and all of, you cannot be saved but by the grace of God. And it says in the Bible, in the original Greek, I will never leave you, no, never leave you. Three times. No, never leave you, no, never leave you, or forsake you. Never. What does that mean when God says it three times? He only says it once, and it's the law. But in order to convince you, he says it three times. And I will remember, plural, your sins no more. There'll be no rerun movies, no late shows. All of the R-rated movies of your life, ranchos, will be thrown out. To be remembered no more. But if you can't admit it, showtime. Shout it from the rooftop. Showtime. I don't want that. How many in here want a rerun movie of their life before you were saved and after you were saved? Huh? Put your hand up if you want one. You don't want one? Neither do I. You know what I just proved right there? You're listening. You are listening, and you are listening intently because you do not want a rerun movie of your life. Who does? God doesn't want it. He knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded, and you are accepted in the Beloved. He first loved you, and he came down. It's a high and a powerful arm to reach down to you. You didn't reach up to him. He first loved you and reached down to you. The legalist is writing down notes as fast as, oh, just get the tape. It's only $3. Send in your,
Now, never forget that you're under the covenant of pure grace, or you're standing on legal ground, and your sacrifice cannot be accepted in the beloved. And so with all our offerings, thou shalt offer the salt of the covenant of grace, or you will be guilty of legality in your offering. And that's an old covenant and has passed away. Behold, I give you a new covenant. By the way, I give you a new temple, not built by human hands. One built in the heavenlies, and you are spiritual stones, and I'm going to cut, and I'm going to hew you, and I'm going to fit you right in with whoever that you're next to. Don't worry about being next to the prostitute, because I'm the one that's going to shape her and put her in there, or him in there, or whatever. And so also we should remember the covenant so that we can be grateful. Doesn't that humble you? How can a person be humble? By being grateful. I didn't do this on my own. Jesus did it for me, being grateful. You know, whenever I think of God coming into the love covenant with me, and that He will never depart from me, no, never, no, never, no, never, it just makes me love Him all the more. I mean, I have trouble accepting myself most times. I think Jim Baker ought to walk right back into the TV scene and walk right back in there. And by what right are you standing here, Jim? I forgave myself. Can you forgive yourself today? Yes, you can. That's a problem, you know. A lot of times we think, I just can't. Well, it says, forgive. Well, sometimes we don't receive forgiveness for ourselves, so we have nothing to give to someone else. If you cannot accept yourself the way that you are today, how can you accept someone else and forgive someone else? Freely, freely I've given to you, freely, freely give it away. If you have free, and the freest thing that God ever gave was free salvation, free forgiveness. I mean, if you the more you receive that, the freer you receive that, the freer you are in giving it out. Freely, freely I've given unto you, I've given you forgiveness, I've given you my life. And when you receive that, by the way, you can give your life. Whatever that it may be. Oh, how we need to know that. Oh, that gives me a get up and a go, doesn't it, you? It gives me the I want to's instead of the I have to's. But anyway, when we realize that we owe everything to Him, oh, how it inspires us. Oh, how we can go out when we are debtors. We owe God. And we realize, I said, we are debtors and that we can take credit for nothing. No credit, none whatsoever. Because without grace, we are totally saltless, tasteless, sweet, sweated stinkers. There is a sweat, but sometimes it's got a sort of a sweet savor to it. It isn't salty. Isn't it funny how people try to cover up all the time? They're always deodorizing and powdering, and they're so fearful they're going to stink, they work up a stink. Good honest sweat, you know, and they just worry to death, oh, I'm sweating all over, you know. Hold your arms to your side. I mean, how about a good honest sweat for the Lord? How about a good honest, God, I just love you so much, I want to do whatever that you'd have me do. What's your will for me today? Not that you'll do it perfectly every day, but at least you start the day out and say, well, what do you want me to do? You don't do it perfectly, but you start the day out that way. You might falter, you might fall, you might get mad, you might say, shut up to somebody, but that doesn't matter. God isn't keeping account. At least you're there and you're available. Isn't that right? Isn't it easy for people sometimes to come in the frenzy of a day, and you know that, Sue. You're working and someone can come in and they can go, oh, this isn't very godly.
you know, and they have that sweet honey suckle savor to them. It's not a, okay, next, come on, let's get this done here. No, I'm going to help you guys, you know what I mean? It doesn't have that kind of thing. It doesn't have salt to it. It isn't real. And they have this. Well, I never, do you call this a church? Just because that man gave you a knuckle sandwich, and you should turn the other cheek. Well, that one was knocked off too. Okay, now where do I go from here? I mean, you know, see, it's just being honest, isn't it? It's like a little kid come up to me the other day, it's kind of pitiful in a way, but we've got a love relationship going. And he's always kind of dirty, and he's always kind of, although the other day he was clean. I have to give credit where credit is due. But I mean, most of the time he's dirty and his little shoes are untied and everything. And he's, Pastor Paul, were you mad the other day? And I had to stop and think. I thought, well, I don't know. Was I mad the other day? Oh, Pastor Paul never gets mad, his mother said. I says, well, that isn't true. I says, did I look mad to you the other day? Well, I didn't stop and get a hug off this guy, see. He's only about this tall. But you weren't mad, were you? I mean, he was concerned about me being mad, and I thought, who am I? You know what I mean? I said, well, maybe I was, but you'll just have to forgive me, see? I'm not always smiling all the time, but it doesn't mean I don't like you or I'm mad at you. See, and you have to teach people right. Oh, goodness, I never get mad. That wouldn't be godly, would it, son? Oh, no. Patience is a virtue. You'll learn that later in your life, that you'll be like Pastor Paul. Well, I told the kid the truth. I probably was mad. I don't know. I don't remember. I'm not going to try to remember either. But that satisfied him. And I think we need to be salty when we're ministering, not honey-lipped. Huh? Not that we're always yelling and shouting and everything, but we do have days when we're not, honeysuckle. We're not dripping. We're not oozy. We have to realize that we are debtors and we can take, I said, credit for nothing. Well, anyway, when I know that God entered into a covenant with me, when I realize that and remember that and remind myself, we can do our work gladly and we can say, I am one of God's covenant ones. And you know, then my witness is more intense and my singing is more intense and my praying is more intense and my praising is more intense and my preaching is more intense. You listening are under a curse or a blessing, one of the two. Are you under the old covenant? Or the new? Or are you mixing them? So many times you'll hear pastors mix law and grace. And they'll try to mix them and whip them together. They won't mix. They will not mix. It's one or the other. And so we're talking about salt here today. Salt as a communion. You know, I read in the East, it is a token of fellowship. And when an Oriental has eaten a man's salt, he will do them no harm. Isn't that beautiful? Whenever you are trying to serve God, make sure you do it in the spirit of fellowship with Him. And remember, by the way, that He is the captain, or you are the pilot. You might pilot that particular boat or ministry. You might pilot that fellowship, but you are taking your orders from the captain of your salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. His servants, it says, shall serve him, and they shall see his face. Well, does it mean he actually sees God's face? No. But you'll meet him in the spirit of things. I think we must see his face to serve him acceptably. Actually see him, not his face, but know his presence. Come face to face with the job at hand.
come face to face with there is suffering in the body of Christ, and to know Christ, you must enter into his sufferings. And that's not a dirty word. Don't get us scared of it. Don't say, I don't want to suffer. There's a great amount of truth in that, first the suffering and then the joy. You know, I was so happy. It doesn't take much to make me happy. Now, I can go out and look at them two great big semi-trailers out there parked the way I want them, and that'll just fill me up. You know why it fills me up? Because I have a vision, and I'm not trying to be weird. I have a vision of four or five more trailers back there. Now, maybe I'll only get one. Maybe I'm overdoing it in my vision. I don't know, but at least I'm ready for the blessing of one because I got them parked the right way now, and the lot is cleaned up. I think we have to make ready for the blessings of the Lord sometimes. I think we need to totally deny ourselves and mention, of course, that we are under the grace message and that we can do nothing without him and just clear out all the other junk and make ready for a blessing. Not a legalistic way of doing it, and I'm going to turn over a new leaf type of situation, but that we recognize that we are sinners saved by grace and we say, glory to God, God help me to clear out all this nonsense that I may be ready for your blessings. And once you feel your love for him dying out, and that happens, and his presence being withdrawn from you, then I think a lot of times you can live by faith. You can still live by faith, but you can't work with comfort. I think there are so many saved people that are so uncomfortable. I think they need to take the cotton out of their ears before they have a shipwreck, before they can't hear the captain of their salvation saying, turn here, turn there. And I think we must feel a sweet friendship with God. How sweet it is to wake up in the morning and know that you can meet God in the morning. How do you meet God in the morning? By just simply calling on God. Say, God, I'm here and I'm restless and I need your orders for the day. Give yourself all away and don't hold back. And remember that God loves you unconditionally. So many times we put conditions on the love of God. There is unconditional love and all you have to do is receive it. So many times the legalist sounds good. Don't they? You have to admit it, don't they? When a lot of craziness is going on, and then the legalist gets in front of the cameras or whatever, they sound real good.
Well, an elder legal. Brother was found in a fault. And they go on, and they
sound so sane. Don't they sound sane? Well, there is the only way we can go. And now the next thing is people to get in on this kind of thing there. Forget about forgiveness. Forget about the faults of man. And forget about all those things that Jesus preached about. And the 70 times 7 type of forgiveness. And forget all of that. And the legalist is going to sound really real. Now this is the truth. This is really what it's come to. Now I'm really going to receive this. You know what will happen? We'll end up standing in the door. We'll end up like Pharisees standing in the door, unforgiving, hard, calculating, miserable people. What do you think all them holy wars were about? Were they holy? You ever read about the holy wars? Get the Book of Martyrs sometime. I mean, the devil just totally took over during those times. Totally. Don't allow it. Get out there and plow, and let me close it. Plow and sow and reap with joy, it says, and gladness of heart. Have your fellowship in God and Jesus Christ. And go on. Know that your labor is with God. I thought to myself, what an honor to have our Lord working not only with us, but by us. Never get into fellowship without God, in summation. And if you have, stop all your work.
It contains pride, and it contains self-righteousness and unforgiveness and many other sins. Go back and be reconciled again. Be saved out of that miserable existence. And remember, you are not allowed to bring honey before the Lord. Oh, are you hearing this today? How many heard this message today? When a sermon deals with you and convicts you, just receive it. Well, I think sometimes we have to tell people also that, you know, to not receive Jesus Christ, to know the truth and not receive Him, is the unpardonable sin. To not receive pardon is unpardonable. If you know the truth, receive Jesus Christ. There may be someone listening on the radio has been putting it off. Don't put it off any longer. Receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior right now. Preachers, start to preach the truth out there if you're listening to me. If there needs to be a knife to be used, don't worry. Don't put ouchless band-aids on things. Be sure you speak out of experience if you speak, preacher. And don't put your hard, candy cane, no bend, brittle, legal, self-contained religion. I'm talking about one of them candy stick arms out there. Because it'll burn up in the sacrifice and it'll be a stink. And that long candy cane finger pointing out there at everybody else will burn up. It'll be a stink. It's not a sacrifice. Say amen, somebody. It'll just make you mean. When I watched TV and I thought, God, people are getting so mean and so agitated and so growling and so complaining, counting up all of their past works. And not until yourself that you know the 70 times 7 forgiveness daily will you be salty. Jesus said, forgive your brother 70 times 7. What? A day. Not until you understand that message will you be salty. Not until you understand the mercy and the grace and the full pardon of the Lord will you be salt. Are you hearing this? I know you're going to remember this message because I've made it a point for you to remember it. A couple things I want you to remember. I don't think there's anybody in here that would want a home run movie of themselves. And I don't care what evangelist is listening, what preacher is listening, what saint of God is listening. We're all saints. I don't care who's listening. There is not one single solitary soul that would want a 24-hour summation of what they've been thinking about in their mind and in their heart for just one day. And especially the legalist, because the legalist thinks he gets there on his own merits. There's nothing that you can hide from God. Did you know that? You can't hide anything from God. And that's why we have to totally rely on the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of God. Some of the meanest people, and some of them, I'm talking mean. And why are they that way? Because maybe they're confined. Maybe they can't do some of the things they want to do, and it makes them mean. Did you know that? A lot of times people are mean. They're looking out there at the world, look at that, and they're just so self-righteous and everything, you know. And then they get down to Kansas City, here I come, and they're down there at some kind of convention down there, and you see them running into some kind of an old dirty movie or something like that with one of these Fearless Fosdick coats on, you know, and a brim hat on, you know. They take their billfold out of their pocket and they sit in there, you know what I mean? But for the grace of God, there I am. Before the grace of God, I could be in the gutter. I could be that alcoholic. I could be that drug addict. I could be that woman of the world or that man of the world or an AIDS victim or whatever. What this world needs right now is the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And to get down on our hands and knees and say, oh God, we have fallen short. We have missed the mark, the high calling in Christ. And the high calling in Christ is to minister the gospel in season, out of season, when it's handy and when it isn't handy, and just let people know that Jesus Christ, God loves them. That is the total message for today, And I think right now we're seeing that it has been forgotten in the higher circles, in the higher circles of the religious, or whatever you want to say. We forget that, see, and we start vibing. We start vibing because our little empires are at stake, and our little groups are at stake, and so on like that. Don't worry about losing your reputation. You lose that every day. As Jesus was a man of no reputation. He had a beautiful character, though, even though that they called him a whoremonger, and they called him Beelzebub, the devil. He went through and he did the job. And he says, not my will be done, but your will be done. What a wonderful God that we follow. Did you get this message today? You're saved by the grace of God. I mean, it's so simple. Can you be saved any other way? When you get to heaven, are you going to go up there with your own merits and you unroll this scroll and show what you've done? Hey, take a look at me. Ain't I wonderful? Let's get on the elevator then, because it's going down fast. Lord, I want to thank you for this audience here today and for the radio audience. And I, Lord, just thank you for this opportunity to minister your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, and your blood that it saves people, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we look unto the cross now. And we bear that one cross that you'd give us in particular, Lord, in this daily life that we have. Help us to go through, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless each person here today. Amen.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 256. That was part two. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes, and within those show notes are scripture links, scriptures that Pastor Paul talks about within his message. So be sure to check those out. Join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's messages. Next Friday's message, vows. We'll see you back here. Have a great week, and God bless you.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Come writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past.
The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last, for the times, they are a-changin'.